In general, we see, just being Parshas Emor, that the Lashon Amira, as Rashi brings down from Chazal, is a Lashon soft Lashon. Whereas Dibur is a Lashon Kosher. And in general, we see that mitzvahs, halachas, are begun with the Lashon Dibur. So here, we have to understand why Hashem uses the Lashon of Amira. And one of the things we can say is, because, especially with the Kohanim, and being rightly so, the fact, as we know, Shevet Levi never failed, even though Rachman Litzlan, the other Shvatim, of course, there were always individuals that passed the test, but in the Nisyanis, in the Midbar, Meraglin, other Abeiros, Shevet Levi as a whole came through their own hard work, Amelis, to fulfill the will of Hashem. And therefore, when you're speaking to the Kohanim with these extra mitzvahs that were given to them because of their holy status, the Kedusha that they have, and like we said, rightly so, it's not to do with prejudice, but won by their hard work. And therefore, it is easy for them, the Kohanim, to accept this. In fact, Kohanim being what they are, the Shevet Levi, they would be saying, is that all I can do for you, Master? Give me more. It is a pleasure to serve you. And we shall again note, as the Rambam says in Sefer Shmita, that any Yid, anyone who comes to serve Hashem, has to realize and know that they can reach those Madregas also. Even if they do not have the mitzvah of the Kohanim, whether it's a Levi, Yisrael, a Ger, they have to realize that they're capable of reaching the highest Madregas also. In this world, everyone has their job, just like an army, a private, general, whatever. But as we know, in Olam Emes, the private could be on the highest levels of the greatest general, and the generals could be on the lowest levels. But again, coming back to our point here, that is why it is used the Lashon of Amira. And we see one of the things we can say, the repetition of not pulling out hairs, not mutilating oneself, not to shave the payas, is repeated even though the Bnei Israel had it. We could say in order to show that there's a Kedusha reason, even for Bnei Israel. We can see from here that it's in order to have the Ben Arami. And in fact, the Rosh Hashiva Shrita says Emor, we can see from Parshas Kisavo as Rashi brings down, is from the Pasuk there, V'Hashem He'amirecha Hayom, which Rashi says, Amshat Habdallah, the Lashon, or Teferes, and all in the same aspect as we're talking about here, that Habdallah Ben Yisrael Amim and Ben HaKohanim, the Bnei Yisrael in general, their job, a Havdalah, a Teferes to them. And of course, the higher one is, higher levels in Kedusha, more is expected of them. The more responsibility they have, They have to realize also how they influence others and don't all of a sudden be a none of hell, who am I? And that's true for everyone, because everyone influences other people, different levels. You see also in the first pasuk, more than one lashon of amira. And as Rashi explains, the other expression, one of them is to teach that the adults are responsible for the children, especially here with the Kohanim. They shouldn't think that they could wait for Kedusha, this special level, till the Bar Mitzvah or whatever. No, that must be done from the beginning, the chinuch of the young Kohanim. And the Rosh Hashiva and Moshe Zatzal and Dorash Moshe asks that the Chayra, we would think that it would say more explicitly, not just another Lashon of Amira to teach us this lesson, but it would say it with Beirish, and we see other places, Matim Osam as Benechem, specifically to tell the adults, to tell the children. Why did Hashem see fit to, so to speak, a roundabout way to tell us this? And he answers beautifully, and he explains what the Torah is teaching by doing it this way, just telling you the ideal way to be a teacher, to be a parent. Action speaks louder than words, as they say in English. That they shouldn't even have to be an amira. The action itself should be an amira. That's why it's not said explicitly. To teach you, that is the number one way of influencing and teaching others. When you set an example, a beautiful way of life, you don't have to say anything. When a gadol, a tzaddik, just by observing them, is the greatest lesson. And that's also pshat in the Mishnah, in others, the first parak. The drushes and things like that, that's not the ikkah. The ikkah is the mass, to be a living Torah. By example, the greatest teacher. Then, after Shani talks about the disqualifications of a Kohen to do the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, after Shlishi about the behemos, their disqualifications. And one might ask, why should it be disqualified? To Hashem, of course, we know one who is blind, broken foot, broken hand, if he's a tzaddik, that's what counts to Hashem, not his physical appearance. So you might think to say, why would this be a disqualification? But we can say one of the reasons is that we ourselves have to understand that if we want to serve Hashem, if let's say we want very much to be a Shliach Tzibur, but we don't have the voice, and of course, as dear can be to Hashem, sometimes even more than the one who has a beautiful voice. But, of course, he himself, not to make, so to speak, the mistake like Cain did. Oh, what's it to Hashem? I could give him the psilis. If you have a covenant and respect for the Master, for the Melech Malchai Amlochim, you yourself should understand you want to give the best. That doesn't degrade you. Where it counts you are as dear to Hashem as dear can be. But you have to know the boundaries. And in each thing that one does, he has to understand and learn the best way to do it. And that's the same way here. A Shliach Tzibur, for instance, getting back to that example, so if he knows he has a terrible voice or whatever, that's still not taking away from his tzidkus, but he himself should understand. If he wants to serve and influence and be ma'orer others in the tefillis, that should be his utmost goal. And that's the point here also. Especially in the Beis HaMikdash, the highest level of Kedusha in Olam Hazeh, one should think and feel that way. As Rashi brings in Pasuk Yudches, on the Pasuk in Malachi, Hakriveu Neor Utechosecha, would you bring such a gift to a Pasuk of Adam, a Habil Elev Abdolos, a Ben Benoy Shal Kal V'chaim, a Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Then, two Pesukim before Revi, we have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, in this parasha, and Rashi explains why it says below Sechalu that you should not make a chilul Hashem. So Rashi says, "Mimash mashenema below Sechalu, matam medlamu avinimdashli." Since it says below Sechalu, what is it telling me by saying the nigdashli? So the Rashi Shibra Zatzal and the Rashi Moshex asks, what is Rashi telling us? L'chaira, what do you mean? Don't we understand that you can have a below sechalalu? You won't have any chil, but you're still a mitzvah. And that's why it says, v'nigdashti, to do a kiddush Hashem. And the Shiv explains that this is to show us and teach us that there are many times when you could do a Sheva al-Taseh, that you think there's no chilul, but it is the biggest chilul Hashem. As Chazal say, one of them, the fact, if he wouldn't put on tefillin, walk Dalet Amos without tefillin, would be a chilul Hashem. Walk Dalet Amos without Torah, if he wouldn't pay his bill on time, it would come out the biggest chilul Hashem. A Sheva al-Taseh, but it could be the biggest chilul Hashem. And therefore, matam lamin dashti. That's the point it's showing us, teaching us. That you could have a lo sechalalu, you're doing a Sheva al-Taseh, and yet it could be the biggest kiddush chilul Hashem. And therefore we have to know that from that there has to be a Kiddush Hashem to do it. The Sumeira Be'asei Torah, because the Sumeira itself could be the biggest Chilul Hashem. And therefore, what is telling us the Nigdashti is the point what Rashi is saying is where you won't have it. Where there are times where you won't have that chilul Hashem, and still there's a mitzvah of the kiddush Hashem to be mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Can say also, incorporated, so to speak, in this also, that teaching us that even where you might not think there's the chilul, but wherever there's the Kiddush that we learn, the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, you should know that if you're not doing it, there will be a Chilul. There will be a Chilul Hashem, even if it might be apparent to you. Revi begins with the Parshas HaMo'adim, And interestingly enough, immediately he talks about Shabbos. Even though begins the pasuk before, Eile Ein Moadoi. And Rashi answers from Chazal to teach us that anyone who's Mechalel, the Yom Tovim, it's as if he was Mechal Shabbos. Anyone who fulfills the Mayadim, it's as if he was Mekayim the Shabbos. And the Darash Moshe and Kol Dodi independently give the same pshat. To explain it more, that Shabbos in general is Eidus that Hashem created the world, the whole universe. And by us keeping the Shabbos, we show that we're mamin in that. The Moadim shows basically that Hashem continues to supervise the world, didn't let it go. And therefore, the pasuk is showing us that you can't have one without the other. There are no halfway measures in Emunah. One who doesn't believe that Hashem created the world, but believes afterwards, however it was created, some other force, chas v'shalom or whatever, but he does now supervise it, is it just as considered an apikoris as the one who believes that Hashem created the world and then said good riddance? They're both the same apikoris. It's interesting to note, as Rav Shibbel Zatzal points out in Darash Moshe, that by Pesach we notice there's not explicit mention in the Psukim of the mitzvah of Simcha, where Shavuos and Sukkot we do find it. And Rav Shibbel explains that you can say because it is self-evident, really. One who is celebrating freedom from the avdus of Mitzrayim and such, it is self-evident that he has to be b'simcha, celebrated with the mitzvah of simcha. And not only that, but to share it with others, as it says by the Shavuos Yontif, the pasuk before Chamishi, the halachas of Peya, Leket, as Rashi brings there one explanation why it's brought there. And we can say that that's why it's not mentioned by the Pesach, also self-evident. Whereas, for instance, Shavuos, one might think that what's the greatest simcha? Learning the Torah, the yontif of a matan Torah, the yotze like that. Therefore, it's telling us no, that there has to be a mitzvah of simcha, meichel b'mishte, to bring the ruchnius into the gashmius, and not just the learning itself. Of course, that's the ideal, that should be total. But also, that's why the mitzvah of the leket peyer is brought there also, to show us, as Kol Dodi points out, that you can have a true Torah Shlema if you don't have chesed with it. It's a Torah's chesed, as the pasuk says. It has to be with the chesed in order to be Shlema. The Ben Adam Lechaveiro, just as Beinodim Amokim, the way Hashem wants it. Without it, it's not a yontif. It cannot be a yontif. To care and want the best for your fellow yid, for your fellow man. That's why also it's not so readily apparent by the yontif of Sukkos. It had to be stated. Because one might think, Sukkos, what happened in the Midbar, that trek in the Midbar with the Sukkos, it happened in the past, history. And as far as the Matnos Aniyim, also not so apparent, same reasoning. And therefore in Parshas Rei, it tells you treat Abducha Bamasecha Valevi Vageh Vayosim Balmana, that it applies by Sukkos also, the true lessons of always. Kol Dodi points out how we see after Chamishi the Torah calls Rosh Hashanah by the name of Zichron Trua. Whereas in Parshas Pinchas it says Yom Trua, and he explains that we can say the Zichron Trua symbolizes a return to Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, to do tshuva, a meyava aspect. The fact, the remembrance of the shofars, which ones, for instance, Har Sinai. Hashem blew the shofar, gave us the Torah, the beautiful blueprint for life, to have an everlasting simcha, the Olam Vayed. And the great shofar of Yimei Mashiach, the Geulah Shleima, that heralds the coming of Mashiach. And Rosh Shiva points out, why is that called Shofar HaGadol? As in general, you see by the ram, the horns, other animals also, one is larger than the other, and therefore, same here, the ram, the horns are used or were used for Har Sinai, the smaller one, and the Shofar Gadol of Mashiach in the future, Me'at Hashem. But then, as we know, it doesn't always work, the Ahava, the honey. Sometimes the tshuva is needed, the sting, the Yiras Hashem of the Einish, if Chas V'Shalom you refuse to listen and do tshuva, and that's represented by the Yom Trua, the shofar that we blow in the shuls. That is to awaken us, as the Rambam says from the Pasuk in Tanakh, from our sleep, a wake-up call, do tshuva. Interesting to note that the Torah doesn't give us a specific date of the Yontif of Shavuos, like it gives the others, which exactly day in Sivan it is. It's like a count in a roundabout way. And we can say that it's to show us, as Rashi brings down, for instance, from Chazal in Parshas Yisro, where it says in Bayrvi, Bayom Hazeh, that it should be every day as if we were Mekabel the Torah ideally. Renewal with the same cheshek as if now we're first receiving the Torah. And that's what it's showing here also. Not giving us a specific date, as if every day, think of it as this is the day that we are getting the Torah. It should be with that kind of ahava and love and enthusiasm. Also, Doresh Moshe points out that we can say one of the reasons why the Yontav of Sukkos is called Chag HaSukkos, the Iker, to teach us that in reality we can be living in the greatest mansion or whatever, but we have to realize, and Pirkei Avos says, that this is really just a prosdev before Olam Haba, temporary existence. And therefore, everything we do, we have to understand, we're just passing through. And that we should realize never to regret giving our monies, whatever, for the mitzvahs, which are the Ika and the Tachlis. As the story goes with the Chafetz Chaim, then Nosher came to visit him and saw how he lived in such poverty. To him, he asked why he can't get a better house or whatever. He would do it for him. And the Chafetz Chaim asked him, why, when he was coming here, he didn't put himself up in a mansion or whatever, first class. And he told him, I'm only passing through. And the Chafetz Chaim answered him, it's the same with me. I'm only passing through here. Kol Dodi points out how the Bala Turim by Shvi, when he mentions the Menorah, he shows how, as all the Yom Tovim were mentioned before, this is the Remez for Chanukah that comes later on in the future. And Rosh Shiva points out, we can say further, that that's the Remez of the Shulchan with the Lechem Aponim, that's mentioned after that. Of the Yontav of Purim, which is centered around the Mishter, as we know, the Nisim of Purim, many of the Sudas came through that way, and that's what this symbolizes. And the Rosh Hashanah explains further that what these are so-called booster shots. The Yidden before Chanukah, it was enough for them, the inspiration and rejuvenation of the Yom Tovim kept them going throughout the year, even from Sukkot till Pesach. But later generations, they needed more Miskatnu Adoreis, and therefore Chanukah and Purim, each in its time when it was needed. But we understand and see that chronologically in our calendar, Chanukah comes before Purim, even though in history it came later. And Rosh Hashanah explains beautifully. The reason for that is Chanukah symbolized by the nace of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, that it was shown how Hashem is with them, and it was through Hashem that they were able to come back to the Beis HaMikdash, conquer the Greeks. Whereas Purim just shows an even deeper level of the understanding and emunah of Hashem, that not only the physical world does he control by the obvious miracles we've seen, but even the so-called natural events of the world that we can see through it, as the Yidden of that time saw by Purim. They reached such a high madrega that they understood that Hashem was behind all these so-called natural events. It's He who controls everything, and we owe everything to Him. and they became such a high level that Kimu Bekiblu HaYehudim, the Torah, again, voluntarily, on the highest level. And therefore you can well understand why it is last in the calendar, though. Because we have to go from level to level. You can't reach the highest Madrega before we go to the lower one step by step. You can't give such a big jump at one time. And each Yamtas and date in the calendar brings us Mietz Hashem, these greatest levels of understanding, so topped off by Purim, which shows the greatest emunah, that no miracles are needed, that on our own we understand that everything is from Hashem. And Mietz Hashem, we should all reach this highest madrega of emunah shleima, and to do His will the way He wants us to, and therefore get the greatest simcha, mayata, yad, umam.